Amen. Thank you. Have a seat. Appreciate you guys. I know one of the band members is under the waterfall down there. Hope he's all right. We had somebody in the tiki hut earlier today. She came out okay, and we must be on the beach. I don't know, but looks like it. And we're decorated here because Vacation Bible School starts tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for children preschool to about fifth grade. And there's a party this afternoon for those who are attending, and parents at 3 o'clock. And Andy can tell you more about that, but we're decked out. If you have children that age, or grandchildren, or neighborhood children you know of, get them here, register them online or here today, or even in the morning would be fine. We're really excited about Vacation Bible School. It's called Shipwrecked this year, and we always go all out on the whole campus, and it's decorated. You might peek around in some rooms before you leave today. I won't tell Andy you're doing that, but people put a lot of work into the decorations, so we're ready for a fabulous week ahead. My name's Tim. I'm the associate minister here. And I want to share with you this morning a sermon called The Genesis of Everything. And it's the first one. I was at Big Ticket last night, and I think I swallowed some dust or something. Anybody else there last night? Let me see the Big Ticket people. All right, we got a few here. All right, super. It was hard to get up, I tell you what, because they go late and they go hard. We're in a series that's starting out called Milestones, and we're going to cover the seven C's of God's eternal plan. We'll be looking at creation today, of course, and then we're going to move on to corruption with Andy, catastrophe, then the following week will be confusion, Christ, cross, and consummation. So I invite you to attend every week in the series. You're going to really enjoy it. I'm going to kick it off today with creation. Now, there's a couple schools of camp. There's a couple different opinions on how things started. A couple schools here. And one of them, I want to illustrate this way by explaining to you that we have the technology now, I don't know if you know this, to go way back in time. Millions, billions of years. And I use my iMac to go back in time. And I captured this video of the beginning. You know, some call it the Big Bang. And I don't. You weren't there, were you? I don't think anybody was there. So I don't know who's to say this isn't really accurate. But I think I got a glimpse of what may have happened billions of years ago. Watch this. I slowed it down right here to about 1% of the speed of film so you could see in detail everything that happened. Wait for it. There it is. Look at the shrapnel all over the lawn. Amazing. Now, there's people on that theory that's how everything started. And that was the bang. Light travels faster and sound is behind it, remember? So that was the bang. The theory is that started, okay? And from there, we moved on. And I don't know the details. I'm not really in this camp. In fact, for me, when I blew that up, I didn't see anything forming. I didn't see any animals forming or any planets forming out of that. It was just a mess. In fact, you're going to celebrate a holiday in a week or so, and you'll probably blow up some things in your backyard or watch some things in the sky, and you may look too afterward and see what's left over. And the second law of thermodynamics actually says that things tend to run down. They don't actually come together, but they actually go apart and they blow up. But there's more to the theory, so let me just try to share a little bit. I want to be fair. I may not give them equal time, but somewhere in the course of that explanation, there's this goo, and I found goo here in Kalkaska, Michigan, actually. I don't know if it's the original goo. Kind of doubt it. But they say that out of this goo was originally a one-celled amoeba, and that evolution somehow formed, I don't know, animals and people and planets and whatnot from this goo. And I'm forgetting one piece of this, because this is the important piece. Time, okay? Because anything can happen with time, right? You can erase history with time. ask your spouse, right? Did that happen? I don't remember that, honey. I don't know. That was years ago. But no, the theory is that millions, billions of years, things evolved until we have you and me today, and the planets and the solar system and everything. Well, there's another theory. It's not really a theory. It's what I believe to be truth and fact. And if you're a Christian, you probably agree with me, is that the Bible in the book of Genesis tells us how everything started out. And it's amazing, because it takes a little bit of faith, but it honestly doesn't take as much faith as this theory does. And there's a wonderful book called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And we have a couple copies in the bookstore. I think there's one in the library. And it talks about the faith that's required to believe life started with the Big Bang, with a one-celled organism, and then the evolution process over billions of years, versus the faith that it takes to believe that there was an amazing creator God that put all this together. And I want to share that story with you this morning in the short time that we have. If you have a Bible, open it to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go through that. I want to share some things about this story, not in detail, not in depth by any means, but just a few observations. And I also want to point out somehow in my illustrations that our God is an intelligent being, He's a creative being, and He's a loving being. And I want to show you all these things. In Genesis 1:1, it says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. All right. It starts right out of the gate. God is right there. Okay. There's no backstory for God. There's no history for Him, because He doesn't have a history. He always was and He always will be. And that's where it might take a little bit of faith to believe that. But God was there in the beginning. And verse 2 says that the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God was there. God the Father was there. The Spirit was there. And actually, in John 1:1, it talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14 of John, the same chapter, chapter 1, it says that in the Message Bible that the Word moved into the neighborhood. And the Word was Jesus Christ. And what's amazing here is in the first two verses of Genesis, we already see that God the Father's there, God the Spirit is there, and we learn that God the Son is also present. And there's some other verses that allude to that. But the Trinity, all three were there, and the Spirit, it seems like He's hovering over the water, just like, say the word, let's get going, let's build, let's create, because our God is a creative God. And so here we go, verse 3, God said, let there be light, and all He did was say it. Let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day. What would it be like if we didn't have light in here? Can you imagine the darkness? Now we have some Christmas lights up here, so it's hard to tell, but light is necessary for us to see, isn't it? It's necessary. The other wonderful thing about light is the speed. You can turn them back on. Thank you. The speed of light. It's mind-boggling that it moves so fast. In fact, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So light, to go from Earth to the sun, which is 93 million miles away, takes about 8 seconds. We could count those off, and that's how long it would take for light to go. On the other hand, if you were to jump in your old minivan or your pickup truck and under the speed limit and go about 60, 65 miles an hour, it would take you 177 years to travel the same distance that light travels in 8 seconds. It's phenomenal. Our God made light. Now, you might be reading this as I did and say, wait a minute, I'm scratching my head, because the sun and the moon and the stars, the sun gives light, the stars give light. The sun's not here yet. How can there be light? And I scratched my head a little bit and I ruminated on this, and I thought, are there other sources of light that exist? Can you think of any other sources other than the sun? What about the stars? Very good. What about if there's a storm outside and you hear the thunder and then you see the lightning? So lightning creates light. What if something is burning? Fire can create light. And another thing that's very evident are certain animals like the jellyfish or an electric eel firefly. That you read my mind. Thank you. Firefly. These are bioluminescent creatures. They create their own light. But the scripture also talks about in Revelation that when the new heaven and the new earth come, that there will no longer be need for the sun, because God will be the light. So my feeling, my belief is that the light that was first created was created by God. God was producing the light, if you would. Again, it takes maybe a little bit of faith, but not as much as the other theories. Let's move on. And verse 4, I believe. God saw the light. Okay, I read that. First day, evening, and morning, the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from water. And some translations say sky, but that's the area that's in between. It was so. God called the vault sky. There you go. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Let me pause just a moment, because I think I'm going to go back, Charmaine, to the good part. God called every day good after he had created something. And what's amazing is that he had in mind you and me when he was creating. And he was making something that was good for us. Every part of it was built for you and me. I don't know if your mother or your father ever built something. Your mom baked a cake and it was just for you. Or your dad built something and it was just for you. How that makes you feel. But God, our Heavenly Father, built and created this earth and everything we see, everything that's in it, for us, for you and me. And he called it good. The other observation is that each day at the end, he says there was evening and there was morning, the first day, the second day. And for you and me as Americans, we may say, well, it doesn't totally make sense. But the Jewish calendar and the biblical calendar, the day started at night, at about 6 p.m. in the evening. So you would have a dark night as the first 12 hours. And then in the morning, you'd go 12 hours and have a day. And that would be a 24-hour period of a day. So there was evening and there was morning the second day. Let's look at water briefly. That water is the most abundant liquid on earth. That over 70% of the earth is covered with water. You and I are made out of water. And it's transparent, it's tasteless, it's odorless, and it's nearly colorless, depending on where you're drinking it from. It's vital for all forms of life. And do you know that water is recycled? Now, don't tell some people, they might not want to drink it anymore, but water is recycled. God has built a closed system that takes all the water that's in it and periodically recycles it all. That it continually is recycled. It's evaporated from the oceans by that sun. The vapor condenses into clouds, which rain onto the land, and the land water runs off into lakes and rivers, which flow into seas, thus completing the cycle over and over and over. Our God is amazing, and he is creative. Let's move on to verse 9. God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was what? It was good. Okay. Then God said, let land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. Do you notice he keeps saying according to their kinds, according to their kinds? This is because of the procedure that you know, dogs produce dogs, and birds produce birds, and pigeons produce pigeons. They don't cross over. They continue producing according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. So one of the things I wanted to do this morning is to share with you maybe some interesting animals or plants or observations that you hadn't thought about before. Because our God is a loving God, but he's also a creative God. And I want to show you some of God's creativity. And I Googled this, and I said, what are some unique plants, some interesting plants that maybe people hadn't heard of? And I found this one here. It's called the Hydnora africana. And it's from Africa. And it may be the inspiration for that little talking plant in the Little Shop of Horrors, if you've seen that movie or that play. It's really just a flower. It doesn't have leaves or a stem. And it starts out underground. And one thing that's unique about it is that it's a parasitic plant. It's a parasite in that underneath the ground, where you can't see it, it's latched on to another plant's roots. And that's where it's feeding. It's from another plant's roots. And it doesn't use the sunlight for the chlorophyll thing. It feeds on the other plant. The other thing that's really unique about it is that it is a kidnapper. All right? It has the three fronds that come up with bristles. And it attracts dung beetles and other parasites like that. And guess how it attracts them? It attracts them from the smell. Because if you were to smell this plant, it does not smell like a rose where it's pretty and delightful, but it stinks. It is a stinky plant, and it attracts these dung beetles. And the beetles go inside there, and then the plant closes in with the bristles so the beetle can't escape. So it's like the hotel where you can check in, but you can never check out. But it does this for a purpose. It does that to pollinate other plants. So the beetle squirms around and actually falls down inside, and the pollen sticks to its body. And then after a day or so, the plant actually opens back up and releases its captive and allows that beetle to move on and to pollinate other plants. That is amazing. And that is an example of our creative, wonderful God. Let's continue going. Verse 14. It says, God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights. Let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and it was evening, and there was morning, day number 4. Do you know the sun is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit at its core? That is a hot day. And if you go in there, you need some sunscreen. Let me tell you that. The sun provides the earth with light, heat, and it creates photosynthesis in plants. And it's a good source of vitamin C. The other thing is, God put the sun above the earth at the perfect distance. It didn't just happen. He put it there perfectly so that if it was too close, if it was any closer, we would be too hot and we'd burn up. If it was any further away, we would get too cold and couldn't exist. In fact, if the sun, for some reason, were to fly off into space, then the earth would slowly, or actually quickly, drop in temperature, 100 degrees, 200 degrees, 400 degrees, and pretty soon the seas would freeze over, and our atmosphere would fall in on the earth. Plants would die because there was no way to have photosynthesis anymore. We would die after that because we would not have oxygen to breathe any longer. And within 8 seconds of that happening, we wouldn't be able to see because the sun, the light would be gone. Amazing about the sun. Verse 20. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about it according to their kinds again. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water and the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning. Day number 5. So I looked up this bird here. It's called the Christmas Island frigate bird. Okay, and it looks like this. That red on the male attracts the female. But the reason I thought this bird was so interesting is the way it gets its food. It'll fly over the water, and when fish jump out of the water, or the flying fish, it'll grab a fish if it's available. But what's more interesting is that it is a pirate of the seas. Because if a fish, if a bird has already caught a fish in its beak, this bird will swoop in and steal the fish from the other fish's beak and eat that for their lunch. These birds have been named sky pirates and aerial kleptoparasites because they steal from the other birds. So I looked down in the water. First we looked in the sky, and I looked down in the water, and I wanted to see an interesting marine animal. And I had to go really, really, really deep to find this one. Below the deep blue sea, we're down in the Black Sea. We're actually thousands of feet below sea level, 2,000 to 4,000 feet below sea level, where the pressure is 60 to 120 times great as the sea, you'll find this fish called the blob fish. In 2013, the blob fish was voted the ugliest animal on the face of the earth. Now, you got to give him a little bit of credit because he doesn't look like this when he's down below. But when you bring an animal up from that deep, they suffer from some decompression damage. So he's a little damaged there, but that's what he looks like when the fishermen catch him on the bottom of the sea with their nets. He is a gelatinous mass with a density slightly less than water. He has no muscles. He doesn't need muscles. All he does is float like jelly or a jellyfish. And to eat, all he has to do is open his mouth, and whatever's floating around is what he eats. The blob fish. Our God is a creative God. Amazing. Verse 22. 24. God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Now, if you've seen any Disney movies, you may recognize this little fellow on the right. He is the Aye-Aye. He is the Aye-Aye. And he's interesting because of the way he captures his food. He is a lemur, and he's from Madagascar. And he has a rodent-like teeth in the front that continue to grow. And he will tap on a tree trunk or a limb and arouse the insects inside and then use that tooth or teeth to pick a hole or make a hole in the bark or in the trunk, and then what God has given him is very interesting. He's given him a finger in which to insert into that tree to pull out the insects. Do you want to guess which finger God thought he would give this rodent, the eye-eye? The middle finger. He has a long middle finger that extends far beyond the other four, and that's the finger that goes in there. I think our God not only is creative, but he has a sense of humor. Don't you? Wrapping it up here. 26. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. He's not going to be like the animals. He's not going to be like the fish. He's not going to be like a planet. He's not going to be like a monkey. He's going to be in God's image. Our image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Our image in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish, so that they may rule over the birds of the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. 27, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. They were vegetarians to start out with. That changed later on after the flood. Verse 30, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and he didn't say it was good. He said it was very good. And there was evening and morning, the sixth day. Brothers and sisters, you are very good. Created by a loving God, a smart God, a creative God. He loves you. He values you. He created you for a purpose. You didn't just come from goo. You didn't come from monkeys. God, your Father, made you, and he loves you. And he made us perfect. In this garden, this environment, I don't have time to even go into that, how perfect everything was. Can you imagine having a perfect body today? I mean, I'm getting up there, and in my eyesight, I have to wear glasses. I have trifocals now. Can you imagine having perfect eyesight? Can you imagine not needing a hearing aid and being able to hear equally well out of both ears? Can you imagine not having to have hip replacement and knee replacement and not losing energy as you get older, not getting out of breath? Can you imagine perfect relationships? You with your spouse, a perfect relationship you with your God. There was a perfect relationship with mankind and nature even in the garden. There were no thorns or thistles to wrestle with. And there was a perfect relationship man with self. There would be no need for medications, no need for people committing suicide, for depression. All of that's wiped away. And that's how it was in a perfect home, the garden. And the promise is and the beauty is that that's how it's going to be again, in the future. That's how it's going to be. We're going to be back in that perfect environment. Let me just close with this thought. You were created by God, and he loves you, and you're important to him. But even more so, he values you. And he demonstrated the value that you have when he sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross and to resurrect from the dead. The value of something is a price that someone will pay for it. Say you have a Beatles record and you want to get some money out of it. That Beatles record is worth as much as someone will pay for it. I'm going through my father's tools. He passed away last year, and I found this antique drill, and I was trying to figure out what things were worth. And I didn't really know what this is worth because it's being an antique or whatnot. But this is worth what someone is willing to pay for it. You and I, we are worth what someone will pay for us. And here's the gospel story, is that the creator of the universe sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And you are that valuable that he sacrificed his son, his life for you and for me. That's how much he paid for you and for me. And he loves you, and he wants you to love him back. If you haven't made peace with this God that created the earth yet, I'm going to be over at the cross. I'd love to talk with you more about that, share the gospel with you. If you have a decision to make or just want to pray, join me over here at the cross. But right now, why don't you stand with me, and Daryl's going to lead us in a song.